Welcome to the With You Always podcast, brought to you by Sushipe, the online community information platform for disciples. Here we invite followers of Jesus Christ to share reflections and wisdom from the journey. Our hope is to instill a recognition that God is indeed with us always. Today, Trish Irvine from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, shares what God is doing in her life.
Today, on the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, questions seem to abound, both within the readings and then also about the particular feast that we celebrate today. When we recall that Mary is the Immaculate Conception, we remember that she was conceived without the stain of original sin, and that she lived her entire life without falling into sin, always saying yes to God's will at every moment of every day. And when St. Maximin and Kolbe was reflecting on Our Lady and the particular role that she played, he kept pondering this question, which was, "Who are you, O Immaculate Conception?" And he ends by having this great epiphany very close to the time of his death, near the time of his arrest. And he recognizes the intimate relationship that is found between Our Lady, the created Immaculate Conception, and the Holy Spirit, the uncreated Immaculate Conception. But throughout his writings, there's this continual theme: who are you, O Immaculate Conception? And then also, considering this title of Our Lady, it calls to mind Mary appearing at Lourdes to Saint Bernadette. And during one of the apparitions, Saint Bernadette asks Our Lady multiple times, "What is your name?" And she doesn't say Mary. Instead, she says, "I am the Immaculate Conception," which was crucial because just a few years before that, the dogma of the Immaculate Conception had been solemnly defined by the Church, something that Saint Bernadette, who was fairly uneducated, wouldn't have known. And so to her, it's just this name that doesn't mean a lot, but to the priest and to the bishop, it meant a great deal, Mary revealing herself as the Immaculate Conception. And so there's this question: what's your name? Who are you, O Immaculate Conception? And then looking at the readings today, there are many questions scattered throughout. We have the first reading from Genesis 3, which is after Adam and Eve had fallen. They've eaten the fruit of the tree. They've disobeyed God. And then there are these questions that follow. God, being a good father, wants to see if they'll confess to what they've done. And so he asks, "Where are you?" Right? The omnipotent, omniscient creator isn't really baffled about where Adam and Eve are, but he wants them to reveal themselves to him, right? Like they've always done before. He wants them to make themselves known. And then he asks, "Who told you that you were naked?" And the questions continue. "Why did you do such a thing?" And so in the first reading, we are bringing ourselves to the place where we're recognizing why this feast is needed. What happened that brought us to the point that we need a savior, and a savior to come from a mother who is pure, one who said yes to God in all things, always? And then we have the gospel, and we have the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and saying, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But Mary is troubled by this, and so the angel says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary is the one who asks the question. She says, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And then the angel tells her how the Holy Spirit will come upon her, and that the child conceived in her womb will be the Son of God, and then tells her that Elizabeth is also with child. So there are all of these questions that we're seeing. But I want to focus on this question of Mary. How can this be, since I have no relations with a man? But I want to reflect on that in light of my own life and all of our lives, which is, how can this be, since whatever the excuse is or the question is, Lord, how can you be asking to do this thing in my life, since it doesn't seem logical? It doesn't seem to make sense. I don't see how you can work in the midst of the situation that you've been given. And I think all of us, in varying ways, whether it's, Lord, how can this be that there's this illness in my family or amongst my friends? How can this be, this particular difficulty that's requiring patience in this moment? Like, how can you ask more patience of me? How can this struggle in a relationship, whether a marriage or a friendship, how can this be, Lord? How could you work in the midst of this at all? And Mary's question isn't perhaps quite so defeating or sad sounding, but it's something that can be echoed in our own lives and in our own hearts. The Lord wants us to take something up, is asking us to follow his will. And so even though in the gospel, when we look at it, we probably see this as this great, beautiful gift of Mary being asked to give birth to the Son of God, and what a joy and a blessing that is. But it also comes with a lot of sorrow and great suffering, that her child that she'll nurture and love and care for will grow up to be hated and scorned by others. And he'll be hated and scorned by the very people that he's coming to save. And so we aren't really doing ourselves any great service by putting Mary on like this completely separate pedestal of like, yes, but you never sinned, so you don't get it. She does understand human life and she does understand suffering. And so today I want us to enter into, what is that question in my life right now? How can this be, since whatever has happened? And to bring that to the Lord and to trust that he does have a response, and that while his response maybe isn't to take away all of the suffering or to remove the pain and the difficulty, but that his response is, I will provide the graces necessary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll be able to bear this too. In the secret places of your heart, you'll be able to carry this, and that it'll be transformed into something life-giving. That this place of hurt or this place of pain can become a source of life. And so today, on this great solemnity, as we rejoice with the great yes of Our Lady, we ask that that yes would be born in our lives too. That even as we question, and even as we wonder what the Lord is doing, that we would always do so with hearts that continue to meditate and ponder the Word of God. And that while we don't always understand what he's doing, that we'll continue to entrust ourselves to him. And by entrusting ourselves to the Lord, uniting ourselves to Our Lady and her yes. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the gift of your mother, for the way that you prepared her to receive you, for the great yes that she said at every moment of her life, in the extraordinary moments, but most especially in the small, ordinary moments of every day. Lord, we ask for the grace to be faithful in small things and in big things, that within us would continue to grow and be nurtured this profound yes to all that you ask of us. Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception, pray for us.
Hi everyone, my name is Eric Gallagher, the founder of Sushipe, the online community and formation platform for disciples. I wanted to take a moment to thank you for listening and also to encourage you to check out our online community at sushipe.co. That's SUSCIPE.CO. At sushipe.co, we're constantly offering free book studies, self-guided mini retreats, opportunities for family fun, prayer, and more. If you're interested in engaging with a community of individuals who are desiring to grow deeper in their spiritual lives, check out sushipe.co and get involved today.